discussing what that, of course, there is a river that flows from deep within. Yeah. There is a mountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water.
Amen.
There is an awesome plan. Come to this water that never shall go away. Yeah, I'm trying to think of this word, but it was a thirsty one.
There was a thirsty woman.
Sing this this morning, and then we're going to pray for Sabbath prayer request for wee Chloe, for Brother Keith. And I want to preach this morning about faith, and faith's real.
Yeah.
One thing about it, faith is real. Praise God. Let's sing this, when his wounded hand touched mine. I want you really to enter in this morning and touch the Lord. Amen.
Word that hand touched mine. Where is word that hand touched mine? Jesus set me free for all eternity. Where is word that hand touched mine?
Just lift your hand to the Lord this morning. God bless you. God bless you.
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we are privileged this morning that we can draw nigh from thy footstool into thy very throne room,
precious Lord,
and into thy very presence,
Lord,
because
Jesus.
Of the new and living way,
Lord,
through the precious shed blood of the Lamb.
Jesus.
Lord, we know that death had no claim on Jesus.
Amen.
But Lord, you stepped into death. You took death on, head on, at Calvary. And you defeated death.
Amen.
You defeated hell. And you even conquered the grave.
All right.
Lord, the Father left you for 3 days. So that he would never have to leave us for a moment. We thank you this morning that God have raised you, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
From the dead.
Amen.
Triumphant over death, hell and the grave.
Yes,
Lord, we bless your name this morning. You are alive.
Amen.
You're not in the tomb. You're not upon a cross. But you're living. You're seated at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Yes.
And you ever live it to make intercession for the saints.
Amen.
You promised you're here
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Lord, that for 2 or 3 of us will gather in your name.
Yes.
You will be in the midst and that to bless us.
Yes.
We receive your blessing now.
Yes.
We thank you for it, Lord.
Yes.
For what you're doing. For what you're going to do.
Yes.
We know the devil's a liar.
Yes.
We know if we resist the devil,
Amen.
That he'll flee
Amen.
From us.
Amen.
When we submit to you,
Amen.
We will overcome Amen. The enemy.
Yes.
Lord, we resist the Amen. Devil this
Amen.
Morning.
Jesus.
We cast down reason. We cast down vain imagination.
Yes, Lord.
And every thought that exalts itself
yes,
against the knowledge of Christ, we cast down
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for every doctor. For every nurse. But Lord, when they've did all that they know to do, we know that there is a great physician,
Amen.
The sympathizing Jesus,
Amen.
Who's touched
Hallelujah.
By the feeling of our infirmity. And Lord, we're coming to you, the highest source of life,
Amen.
The life giver.
Amen.
And we're asking for Keith.
Yes.
We're asking for wee Chloe.
Yes.
We're asking for every hand that's raised in this room.
Amen.
That you'll produce that miracle.
Right.
Let there be a manifestation of what you've already purchased
Amen.
On the cross
right.
2,000 years ago.
All right.
Father, I pray you'll grant it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm asking. The name that's above every name.
Amen.
Lord, I take upon myself this morning the Holy Spirit
Amen.
To anoint and to help me. And I thank you, you do undertake for me in Jesus Christ's name. Bless every boy, every girl in this room, every man and every woman. Do thy people good. Where they're discouraged, encourage them. Where they're down, lift them up.
Amen.
Where there's sadness, bring joy.
Right.
Where there's poverty, bring financial blessing. Oh God, you're our help this morning.
Hallelujah.
Your word says you're the present help
right.
in the time of need.
Yes,
right.
Lord, have thy way this day. Lord, we ask that you'll be in the midst. We've come to see you. We've come to praise you, lift you. Magnify you. Manifest yourself again today. Become amongst us. Be present in our midst. And we know where the power of the Lord is. The Lord is present.
Amen.
Father, have thy way now. Bless your word to our hearts. As we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I want you to take your neighbor by the hand and say, let's let faith work.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's
let faith work.
Let's let faith work. Praise God. Amen. The Lord bless each one. You've maybe seen it for a moment. Praise God. You know, I was thinking this morning, and I was thinking, and a brother said something to me, it'd be a good idea, and I thought it was, you know, and I, lots of good Catholic friends, some of you know them, and I appreciate them, and you know they went on Lent recently, and when you go on Lent, you have to quit something for 6 weeks, and there's one fella, I don't think he lost his weight, but anyhow, that's neither here nor there, but it's good to have commitment. And I believe as Christians we should be committed to coming to church, to paying our tithes, to praying, to reading our Bibles. That's part of what we do if we're real believers. But now, in a week's time the clocks turn because the good weather's coming in. And I'm sure hoping it is. You know I do not like the cold. I like the sunshine. Amen. Who doesn't? But here's the thought. You know how the clocks turn back next week. So you'll be rising at 6 instead of 7. If you rise at 7 or if you rise at 8, whatever time you rise at. Let's say you're a person that rises every morning at 7. Well, here's the challenge. How's about putting the clock back tomorrow morning? And have it set tomorrow so you're putting the hour back 1 week earlier. But that 1 hour you're going to have extra is for special prayer. To pray especially for Brother Keith. Amen. I believe God can heal him. I believe God's going to heal him. I believe God can raise him out of the hospital. If it was your way lying there, wouldn't you be blessed if somebody could say that for you and people would do it for you?
Amen.
How's about that for a challenge? Even if you do 30 minutes, even if you do 20 minutes, I'm not saying that you must pray for an hour. It's up to you. But even if you pray at all, but rise that bit earlier, have it set for 1 week. 1 week's not long. I started to do something myself. I'm not going to say anything about it. Some people know about it. But for a few days, I did it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks I did it. And somebody said to me, 2 weeks. And I said, it was easy. I thought nothing of it at all for 2 weeks. I did this certain thing for 2 weeks. And I felt the better for it. And people, there has to be a commitment. And how's about that? I think it was a good idea with... A brother said to me this morning, and I'm going to try my best to do it.
Amen.
And you can set your watch, but say you get up at 7, get up at 6, because the clocks are going to go back the following week anyhow. Or forward, sorry, forward. Whatever way it works, you know,
yes.
To go, do it for that time in the morning or the evening. But make a commitment to pray for brother that God will really touch your brother. And I want to thank everyone that's visited her brother Keith, and lots of people's visited her brother Keith and prayed for him and read with him, and it's really encouraging for me as well when I see other people going and reading and praying for them. That really encourages me as a minister, and I'm sure the family as well. It's tremendous, and I believe that for 2 or 3 agrees touching anything, God will do it. So the family wants to thank you as well for those, and pray for Sister Annie as well, and that the Lord has strengthened her this time, and God's able to do it.
Amen.
God is able to do it. Praise God. Let us turn this morning to 1 Corinthians 12, and maybe we can just stand while we read just 4 verses. 1 Corinthians 12. From verse 7 to 11, we're going to read Hebrews, but we'll read this first of all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophesying, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. You may be seated. We know that God will bless the reading of his word. And I want to read from Hebrews. And you can turn to it or keep your finger where you are. Hebrews. This is really the scripture that came to me strongly yesterday. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. How many know substance of something?
Yes.
Substance of nothing. Substance is something. If you've got the substance, you have it. Mm-hmm. And faith is the substance for the miracle.
Yes.
Faith is the substance for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the substance for your financial breakthrough. Faith is the substance for the salvation of your home. Faith is the substance for your loved ones. Faith is the substance for your joy. Faith is the substance for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Faith is the substance. So if you've got faith, you have it. Faith is the very substance. Now, I want to read something from one of Jack Cole's messages. Contrary to what some people may believe, your faith will stand trial. It must be tested. Such tests and trials never come to prove God that you're able to withstand them. God already knows exactly whether or not you will pass the test. God in his matchless wisdom also knows exactly when you will pass your faith test. Know that the testing comes to prove to you that God has given you all that is needed to win in life. The testing is coming to prove to you that God's already given you all you need to win in life. God's already done it.
Amen.
At times it may appear that your test will never end. That's not true. The devil will try to convince you that you will always have to go through the same trials. He does this only to discourage you. Don't fall for his lie. Every test has its seasons. And all like the four seasons of the winter, spring, summer and fall, each one eventually comes to an end. However, sometimes one test follows another with such a rapid pace that it seems like you haven't had the time to recover from the facts of the previous one. That is just the nature of faith. Lifestyle is par for the course and the person who chooses such a path. Even though the faith person deals with constant opposition, he or she overcomes every time through the Word of God. Many applaud this characteristic of faith. However, this persistent nature should typify every individual who is a genuine follower of Christ. Every believer must fight to win and then win to fight again. Our aim is to overcome every obstacle that the enemy places before us. And he quotes Revelation. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I tell you, I know Jack Cole mentioned this. I preached a sermon about this myself in Africa in several places. And it was about the Timex watch. And I said the other week, when you're saved, you can never be saved again. You can be saved in ways of situations, but as far as salvation goes, when you really get saved, you're always saved. You get lost the joy, you get lost the enthusiasm, there's many things you get lost, But you can never lose the salvation because it's God that gave it. And the Bible says it is a gift of God. For by grace through faith are you saved. Ephesians tells us that it is a gift of God. So once you're saved, you're always saved. But because of trials, situations, hardships, maybe Christians that didn't have a good testimony, you could stumble, you could fall, but you're still saved. But you don't have to live in a condition of joylessness. God wants to bless you. God wants to restore you. God wants to renew you. God wants you to walk in all the benefits of your salvation.
Amen.
And all the joys of it and the blessings of it. And the closer you get to the Lord, the better it'll become. But your faith is still there. Sometimes your faith can seem low. Sometimes you think you have no faith. Sometimes the enemy will tell you faith doesn't work. But faith always works.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us without faith it is impossible to please God. Yeah. Then there's a scripture that goes on to say, for he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those that seek him. You have already got faith this morning. If we went to the book of Romans, I could show you that God has given to each and every believer a measure of faith. So you already have a measure of faith. God wants you to use your faith. It's like a muscle. If you don't exercise a muscle, it will be weaker. It won't keep its strength and size because it's never worked. But when you work it, it has the ability to become stronger and larger because it's worked and rested and it grows bigger. And God wants us to exercise our faith muscle and not believe the devil. Now the spiritual gift of faith is a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit. There is a gift of faith. And you can pray, and God can give you the gift of faith. And when a man or a woman have the gift of faith, things can happen for them immediately when they operate it, because it is not just a measure of faith, it's a gift of faith.
Amen.
And it's one of the 9 gifts in the Bible, what we've read about in the book of Corinthians. A lot of people years ago, not so much today, but they put an awful emphasis on tongues. And tongues is a good gift. But I would say the gift of faith is greater than the gift of tongues. And yet with all, we don't hear much preaching about the gift of faith. But when one has the gift of faith, you can pray for a miracle and it will happen.
Amen.
Because of the gift of faith. Now, I also want to say this. If God ever in your lifetime give you the gift of faith, if you ever prayed for it, just like the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy, and I know there's brethren here that have the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy in this room and the gift of discernment, but if you ever were a person that prayed and sought God for the gift of faith, and you received the gift of faith, you still have it. Because Paul the Apostle admonishes us to stir up the gift which is already within us. You know, it's like a sport. If you've got a fellow that's good at a certain thing and he doesn't do it for a while, if he will dedicate himself again and go back to exercising for that particular sport and training, he will again become what he once was. Because if he ever could do it, he will do it again. They say, if you have a muscle, let's say it measured 20 inches, just for talk's sake, and you never trained it for years and it went down to 14 inches. They say that a muscle has a memory. And if you were training again, it will become again what it used to be. It will restore back. It's a God-given thing within the body. And God gives a gift, and He does not take the gift back. He's not an Indian giver.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that gifts and callings are without repentance. And when God gives you a gift, you still remain with that gift. And God wants us to operate in faith. Now I want to tell you what faith is not. It is not natural faith. A natural person may possess natural faith, may be called courage, without which this world wouldn't keep going without courage. Natural faith may be called confidence, without which no group of people may progress. The gift of faith is not just a measure which we have, but it's a gift from God. Let's turn to Romans, first of all, to chapter 12. And you want the scripture, and always good to do it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Epistles, or Romans. Amen? So if you're Corinthians, go back, and you'll be straight at Romans. Praise God. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen.
So if you're going to pray for a brother, even though you're not a minister, or a deacon, or an elder, or ordained, or any of those things, you've still a measure of faith.
Amen.
If you're going to kneel down and pray for your loved ones, and you think you've no faith, the Bible here says you have a measure of faith. Now you must remember the words of the Bible that said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, that's the smallest seed there is. If you put one bit of mustard seed here, you'd hardly see it. And by the way, I love mustard. Salt, not too worried about it. Mustard all over. I just love mustard. And if you ever get hoarse preaching, mustard's a cure. What do you do? You put the mustard on your hand and you lick it, preach on. It's an old preaching cure. How do I know? Because I've done it. When you used to do the open airs, you'd know all this stuff that had to be on these modern microphones and all. You had to shout and roar. And you'd get hoarse. And you notice people that don't preach a lot, and then they try to preach and get loud, and they get hoarse quick. But the fellow that does it all the time, it doesn't bother him. Because he's used with it. Now I know maybe I shout too much, I don't mean that. But mustard. But you think of a little small mustard seed, how big the tree it grows. And I've worked with a fellow, and what we come across all the time is, you ever go to these gardens for your plants and your trees, and you go in there, and the fellow's selling fir trees, and he tells you, these are the small fir trees. Don't you believe that? There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a miniature fir tree. It'll be miniature if you cut it. But if you don't cut it, everywhere we went, people want trees removed. These things grow. And then, oh well, we bought these, he told us they wouldn't grow beyond a certain height. Now they're 60 feet high. But that started from a small seed. And it grew into a massive tree. And that little tree, when it started out, if you took it in the natural, that little tree, when it started out and it began to grow, and only come up a foot high, and the wind would be fit to move it and blow it all over the place. And bend it every way, but as that tree grew and got bigger, it became stronger and stronger. And the wind didn't seem to affect it, and the wind didn't seem to do it any harm. And you know, if you've got property and you have certain trees, that they block the wind from your property. And you know, I've lived at several places, and the one place there was lots of trees, and the fella said, there's no wind comes round here. And I said, no, because the trees block the wind. Because they're strong. And your faith may start out small, That little grain of mustard seed, but it's still faith. And God wants you to use the faith He's given you. And He wants you to walk in faith. He wants you to live in faith. He wants you to operate in faith. And the Bible says, that those that know their God shall be strong and they'll do exploits.
Amen.
And we can only do exploits in faith. Look with me to James. The book of James, and it's over near the back of the Bible beside Peter. James chapter 2, verse 26. You come about 5 books back from Revelation, it's the 5th one back. 2 Peter, let's go to verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. People say, I've got faith, and they never do anything. And Paul the Apostle comes along in another scripture, and Paul says, your works proves your faith. It's like the fella I told you, I won't mention his name, but he walks about like this all the time. Big sad face. You'd never know he's saved. Never shows no joy. Never witnesses to nobody. But he's condemned every denomination. He's condemned every organization but the one he's going to. It's alright. But I told you about when my brother-in-law took me to see Northern Ireland player. That this stiff, starchy Christian, when they began to sing the song at the end of the match, they qualified that night. That's about a year ago. Can't remember which match it was, but they did well, didn't they, Northern Ireland? They did well again the other night, didn't they? I know you've no right to say, letting on to me, you don't watch it. Amen. Who's an Northern Ireland supporter in here? That one let me have a couple more. Praise God. But what I'm saying is, this fella, you see, you would never knew he's a Christian, and you're not allowed to sing in church and clap your hands and you keep your face straight and all that. But that night, he didn't know I was there. And I spotted him. And then the arms going, when the song was going, and the stadium, what they call rocking. How many's ever heard that? Who's ever been to a football match? A rugby match? Right, any match, box match, anything. You know they get excited about it, don't they? And the music going and all the rest of it. But this fella's arms were going back, he was in it. And I thought, boy, imagine you'd done that in church, what would happen?
Right.
And his face was all lit up, and he had a smile on it. Because he thought nobody knew him down there, and he'd let go. Well, I walked straight up to him. And I've almost said his name. And shook his hand and said, hi, are you? That boy, you think you've seen a ghost? Didn't worry me, I had a song on anyhow. But God wants us to faith. He wants us to use our faith. Amen. So faith without works is dead. God doesn't want us to be lifeless Christians. God wants us to be Christians that's living, that's a smile on our face, that's joy upon us, that's not afraid to pray for somebody or witness to somebody. There's a friend of mine, he actually rang me this morning. And they did a thing to raise money last night. They raised £11,000 last night. And he was telling me, you know, before he went that yesterday, this man met him and he lit on him. And he cursed him all over the place. Really attacked him. And he says, it's not like me, but he says, I don't know what come over him. But he says, I give it to him. And he says, I tell him that if he's not saved, he'll go straight to hell. And this boy lit on him in the middle of a shop, cursed him out in the middle of a shop. And I said, you've done the right thing, brother. Don't be afraid to stand up for the Lord. And he did, praise God. But I tell you, it's not the way of it. The world will tell you what they think. They'll tell you a dirty joke. And they won't care who's listening. And they'll all laugh at it. But you mentioned one thing about the Lord. And you say to somebody, and you know, somebody's got cancer, no hope for it. Right away, they've no faith.
Right.
They've no faith. According to them, nothing can be done. Mm-hmm. But I want you to know this morning that God still does paradoxes.
Amen.
You know what a paradox is? Something that seems unbelievably impossible, God can do it.
Amen.
You say, give me an example. An example is when a man prayed and the moon stood still. That's a paradox. God done it. And even the scientists proved the stuff. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our God's able to do it. But you need to have faith.
Amen.
When you've got faith, don't let the enemy tell you of no faith. You've got faith. And if you're saved this morning, maybe you're not where you should be, but you can get where you should be. And that's only one way to do it. Seek the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So faith. When you operate in faith, your faith grows. Go with me to Galatians 5 and 22. Galatians chapter 5. This Bible's falling apart. Pages are ripping. You know how you got Bibles and you don't like to change it? And it's Galatians, it's ripping. Galatians 5 verse 22. Praise God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Faith's part of it. How is it that people preach so much about so many things, but faith's left out when faith's the most important thing? The Bible says in so many places, for by grace through faith ye are saved. Ephesians chapter 2 says, none of works, lest any man should boast. You're saved by faith, by grace through faith. Faith the substance. I read it at the start, the substance. It's the material that can make it happen. What's the material to raise your brother from the bed, the deathbed? Faith is the substance.
Amen.
What's the substance that can give you a financial breakthrough? Faith is the substance. What's the substance that can change your marital situation or your children or any condition you're praying for your mother or your father? Faith is the substance that can change it. Faith can do it. God wants you to have faith. God wants you to believe Him. You know, I was thinking of this story last week. It's true, happening with Jack Cole. Had a dream, he was in the army. And he dreamed and he saw an orange tent. And his sister was in that tent dying. And he got leave from the army to go and see his sister. And he went into a wee church to pray, and the minister opened the church for him to pray. And he got down to pray, and the minister prayed a wee prayer, and Jack Cole started praying. And he forgot all about the minister and all about everything, and he really started praying. And the minister said, I never heard nobody in my life praying like that. And he said, but you never heard nobody that was desperate. And he felt that God spoke to him and said, I'm going to heal your sister. And then he got the taxi, and he's in the taxi. And the man's taking him to where his sister's at a hospital in the taxi. And he starts praying again in the taxi. And the boy in the taxi says, I've heard people praying, but I've never heard nobody praying like that. And Jack Cole said, you've never heard nobody that got desperate. He got to the hospital and there was a sister under the orange tent. But by this time, God had told him, I'm going to heal your sister. God had spoken to him. And his mother meets him. And his mother says, tell him, Jack, go over to the phone box and ring your father. And tell him your sister's dying. And Jack Cole heads for the phone box. And God says to him, Jack, where are you going? And he says, Lord, I plumb forgot. Because God had told him, I'm going to heal your sister. So he stopped and he never went to the phone box. He came back And his mother says, "Jack, did you ring the doctor or your father?" And he says, "No. God's going to heal my sister." And his mother fell on her knees and began to weep. And she began to pray. And his mother said, "Lord, help me. Because my sister's dying and my son's head's wet. Will you please help me?" And he went in to see his sister under the tent. And they'd give her up to die. Said she wouldn't last 24 hours. And when they went in there with his mother and his sister woke and said, "I'm starving. Make me a good fry." Amen. And they called all the doctors in and the nurses in. And the head doctor, and they said, "Doctor, she says she's starving. She wants a fry." And the doctor says, "Let her have it. As a dying request, let her have it." And they went and made her a real good fry. And she ate the whole thing. Drunk turkey cups of tea. And fell back to sleep. And 2 hours later again, she woke again and said, "I want another fry. I'm starving." And they said, "Did you see the fry 2 hours ago?" And she said, "I'm starving." And the doctor ran in with the wee thermometers and all the wee bits and pieces they have. And says, "We're going to have to examine her. Something's happened." And they examined her and they tested her and they've done everything to her. And every disease has gone from her. And God completely healed her.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you one better. That woman's a preacher today. Praise God. Now, sorry, not that woman, but children of that woman. He's preaching the gospel today. Jack Cole's sister, you know, preaches. Jack Cole Jr.'s sister preaches. Who do you ever remember the story where Jack Cole's at? There's two Jack Cole's, the old Jack Cole and the son Jack Cole. But have you ever heard the story where Jack Cole told he preached a revival? And this woman wanted to go and get saved and her husband wouldn't let her. And her husband actually took his hand and he slapped her face. And he said, "Woman, catch yourself on. We don't need to get saved. We're too young." And they went home to the house. And they had washing on their neighbor's line, which was quite a piece away. And they went to the neighbor's line because a storm was coming. These people that was at the meeting. They went to the neighbor's line when the storm was coming and lightning struck the house. And a little girl with blonde hair was at the window screaming and she couldn't get out and the house was burned and the little girl was burned alive. And that woman that had her face slapped ran back to the meeting. Nobody was there. And they got a hold of shirts and got Jack Cole and said, "Why didn't you make us come to the altar?" And he said, "I did my best, but it wouldn't come." And Jack Cole preached a sermon from that. "God will set your body fields on fire." It's one of the best sermons you'll ever hear. Billy Andrews preached it as well. But Jack Cole preached it. But you see, when Jack Cole went off to preach, he tells in one of them sermons where there's a wee girl with long hair. And she used to cry when Daddy went off to preach. So I said to Jack Cole Jr., "Who's that wee girl?" And he said, "That's my sister. She's a woman preacher today. And she sees tremendous miracles." Now I know, maybe we don't believe in women preachers, but it doesn't change the fact she's doing it. I tell you, faith in God, whether it's a man or a woman, works. This is what I'm trying to say. So many people want everything the way they think it should be. But God will use people that's faith.
Amen.
You believe that this morning?
Amen.
When you read, when you listen to Brother Branham preaching, and one of the messages on the healing line, and he's praying for people, and you know the tremendous ministry he had that God gave him. Ministered to him by an angel, the gift of healing in 1946. And the angel said, "Not even cancer will stand before your prayer if you can get the people to believe." And in one service, one woman came in the prayer line and he stopped. And he said to her sister, "Your baby is already healed." And he said, that woman over there, and he pointed to her, prayed for your baby. And God heard her prayer. And your child's already healed. And they come to find out that that sister was sitting in the congregation, and she felt led to pray for the little baby the woman was holding that was sick. And God heard her prayer. And sure, this prophet, he heard it and announced that child healed.
Amen.
Faith. Faith in God. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought miracles. They were delivered from the mouths of lions. By faith. Abraham, yet being old, but by faith, Sarah conceived. 90 years old, conceived by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith in God can move a mountain. I remember as a wee boy going to a certain Sunday school, and the minister took the scripture, the Sunday school teacher, when you can speak to the mountain and God will remove it, if you've got faith, God can move the mountain. And he began to tell us that it won't be a mountain. So I thought to myself, I wasn't the smartest, but I thought, now he's undoing what the Bible's just done. He's going to spend the next 20 minutes convincing me how it can't be done after he's read it can be done. Well, I wasn't having that. And I said, no, you're wrong. I said, believe it the way the Bible says it. You're the church, and I won't name them. But we start for the book, and they thump it and hit it. We believe every word, but why was he changing it? You know, William Branham said, if you haven't got faith to operate what this says, don't stand in the man's way that has faith to do it. Because the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it and bring it to pass. And when you put your faith in the word of God, God will do it. But God wants you to have faith. I was thinking this morning, you know, when I was coming and praying this morning, when I was only a wee boy, my mom and dad was down in Cork, and they had no milk. And people talk about faith, and that missionaries are being sponsored, and different people have been sponsored, and they know they have a wage going in the bank every month. Well, that's not faith. I'm sorry. But when you don't know where it's coming from, that's faith. How many agree this morning? You're trying to pay a bill and you don't have the money to pay it, and you're praying, that's faith. But I remember when my dad said, where they had no milk, I was only a wee fella, and they poured the boiling water over the porridge, oats, in the jug, and the liquid that came off it was poured into a bottle. That was my milk. I remember telling this testimony one night, and I said, have a good look at me. Bodily feel, aren't I? They all laughed. I was 4 stone heavier the night I told that testimony than I am now the night. Or 3 anyway. Like to exaggerate now and again. Sounds better if you say 4, doesn't it? Lost 3 and add 1 more, it sounds even better. But anyhow, but I'm still, you know, alright, aren't I? My grandmother said to my dad once, you better go and get the doctor quick, Billy, because that wee fella's dying. He's not well. And he was going to the doctor and he was thinking he preached to my faith. And I'm lying at home dying. Not well. Now I know some of you maybe think this is all the story, but these things happen. And he came back and his mum said, well, did you get the doctor? And he said, no. He didn't. But from that day I got better. Can you explain to me, I crossed the road with a cart once, and a car hit me head on, all the lights in it were smashed. The main front light, the indicators, everything. I didn't even have a bump. So, I can't explain that myself, how that could happen. But that's true, I was knocked out. Because I remember waking up, and looking up into my dad's face, and he was carrying me up Long Hill beside Bradshaw's shop. We used to go down it in carts and go straight out across the road at the bottom like Egypt's never looked. And the carts used to have the ball bearing wheels in the back. Have I ever seen that? These young ones don't know anything about the carts these days. We used to make the big wheels in the front, wee ones in the back, and you could slide them about. Boy, you thought you were great. Hit my car. Went to the doctor in the town, he examined me, couldn't find anything wrong with me. Went to the hospital, he examined me, couldn't find anything wrong with me. Back at my head right enough, but they didn't know that. Faith. God's you here for a reason. God is you here for a purpose. Faith. Faith can do it. Praise God. It's not just trying to have faith such as supposing, imagining, questioning, screaming, yelling, jumping, or to make believe. That's not faith. None of that's faith. You can pray as loud as you want. That's not faith. You can pray as quiet as you want. Still not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. It is not ambition. Not so business or ability. It is not guesswork, prediction, recklessness, or believing without positive evidence. None of that's faith. Jump and God will catch you. Hear all these things. None of it's faith. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Just like salvation is a gift of God. You're saved because of the gift of God. And faith to see it. Faith the gift from God to you. Faith the gift from God to me. We have faith. God wants us to exercise that faith. The spiritual gift of faith is the faith of God. Look at Mark's Gospel. That's one of my favourite scriptures ever to preach from about faith. And I'm closing. I'm going to read this and I'm going to close. I'm not going to hold you as long. Mark chapter 11. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. The many versions, and they say the original says, it doesn't say have faith in God, but they say the original writing say have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. What does that mean? God said that to be light. I know it's hard for us to get it. You think of a little girl with no eyes. No eyes. And she comes before William Branham. Perry Green tells that he came to one of the first services, and one of the greatest miracles, the first miracles ever seen, was God give that wee girl eyes back. And he said to her, what colour of eyes do you want? She said blue. And God gave her blue eyes. You said, how's that possible? Because of the faith of God. No. God created the world. God made everything. And the Bible says, by faith, through faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now I'm going to tell you in Hebrews, read Hebrews 11, it's wonderful. For by faith, through faith, and faith wonderful. Faith in God. By faith. God said, let there be light. There was light. There's still light. Faith. God cursed the fig tree. Jesus did. Jesus come to the fig tree and he cursed it. Now here's the interesting thing. If you study about the fig tree, the fig tree wasn't the time for bearing fruit. How many knows that if you've studied it? But they talk about the off-season fruit. How many have heard of that? But Jesus expected fruit to be in that tree, and there's no fruit in the tree, and Jesus cursed the fig tree. Look at verse. For verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's the scripture my Sunday school teacher read. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye'll have them. God doesn't want you to go and pray for somebody and then say he'll die. God doesn't want you to talk like that. The Bible says that in the tongue's given the power of life and death. The Lord wants us to be positive and have faith. There's so many Bible examples, but my time's gone. Let me turn back with you to Hebrews and then I'll close them. Hebrews 11. Verse 3. Through faith we understand the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying in his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, but was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please God. God's looking for faith. William Branham said in one place, how can we have faith for the rapture if we can't have faith for divine healing? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save him of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now people just think, well, that was good. 120 years. He never gave in. He never gave in. When something doesn't happen as fast as you think, don't give in. Still have faith. Noah had still faith. Noah prepared an ark. Noah said it's going to rain. There was no scientific evidence of rain. You remember this. When Noah built the ark, it didn't rain the way it rains today. Because the Bible says that dew watered the earth at night time. A dew from heaven. So you didn't need rain. So it never had rained. They didn't know what it was for rain to come. But Noah's up preaching it's going to rain. And he's never heard of rain. And he preached it for 120 years. That's a long time. And only 8 souls were saved. But he had faith. You going to have faith this morning? Let's stand our feet. I'm not going to call you forward or anything like that. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands. Just let's close our eyes. I want you where you're standing today to reach out in faith to God. And I'm going to pray and I want you to believe. You tell your need to God. Now I have needs myself. But you tell your needs to God. Let's believe as we leave today that you are going to expect a change. Can you do that? Will you believe that? Whatever the situation is, that you're going to expect a change. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish, prosper the thing you send it to. Lord, you have showed us, you have given us a measure of faith. Father, we say, Lord, answer the prayer that everyone's praying now. For that man, for that woman, for that boy, that girl. May you intervene. Give the financial breakthrough. Health to the navel and strength to the bones. We ask again for Brother Keith. Yes. Lord, we know the doctors are doing their best and the nurses and everyone involved. But Lord, he needs the heavenly physician. Lord, you've never lost a case. Lord, I pray for a manifestation of what you paid for on the cross to come upon our brother Keith. By your stripes, our brother Keith's healed. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them out of all their afflictions. Lord, if they could look on a brass serpent,
yes,
under an old law and under the old covenant and be healed when they should have died. Lord, you have promised us that we look to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, we will live. Lord, your prophet preached the message, look and live. We look to you this morning, Lord Jesus, and we speak life instead of death, health and strength to the bones, in Jesus' precious name. Father, whatever the people's going through this morning in this room, in their home, in their minds, people praying for the brother, for their sister, a mother or father or an aunt or an uncle or a relation or a relative, Lord, I sincerely ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that there'll be a change. Father, you know those of us that need a financial breakthrough, really a miracle, we know you're the provider, Lord.
Yes.
We're asking you, Lord Jesus, that you'll do it.
Amen.
Lord, we believe that you're still the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. The God of Elijah of the Bible, and Elijah of the 20th century. You're still that God. And you promised you the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Father, I bless each one in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'll be a good report, Lord. Help us to have the positive thinking and the right mental attitude toward every word of God. Bless your brothers, he comes to close and with a song. And bless your people for the service tonight. And in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As your brother Gary comes, God bless each one.
Thank you.
say one more before we go. Joyful, joyful. Will the meaning be welcome, sin, march of your